everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
All right, national panel. The Big 12 basketball record for consecutive wins in a row. Who's got it? Who knows who it is?
Baylor. Right here.
Baylor, yes, yes, it's Baylor. You all know it now. You haven't said a word about this number one team in the country. If it were Kansas, you'd be writing graphic novels. We're talking Baylor today. Let's go.
It's like the eighth number one
team. The origin story of Kansas. How Kansas did this and Kansas did that. You don't talk about Baylor ever. And today you're wearing a Newport. We'll get to that in a second.
I referred to the World Series trophy in a disrespectful way. And I want to apologize for that. There's no excuse for it. I made a mistake. I was trying to make a point, but I should have made it in a more effective way. Mm-hmm. And again, so, I want to apologize for it.
Apologizing to all pieces of metal who were offended. Also, LeBron James from three-point land out of nowhere with a bat taking a swing here. Fix this for the sake of sports. I'll ask what you think about that as well. But Sarah Spain, you are in sports. You've heard the commissioner's recent apology. Yeah. You've heard from the players every day since the report up till today and including to right now. So does Rob Manfred need to appease baseball players?
He does. So this is a guy who called the trophy a hunk of metal, who said it required intestinal fortitude to share the results of the investigation as if he should be congratulated for doing the thing that you're supposed to do when you investigate. He then mocked Jared Diamond from the Wall Street Journal for acquiring the inside information to reveal the real extent of the cheating by saying, oh, so you got a letter that I wrote. Congrats on your reporting. Right? Everything he's done so far has undermined what little they did do to punish the team. So at this point, it can't get any worse. The only way to make it better is to say, all right, my bad. I really messed this up and I need to fix it. We're vacating the title. We're embarrassing the people who won it with as much power as we can without going to arbitration for specific player punishments. And we are going to make sure that everybody else feels as though more happened to the people who cheated than has already been done. I did it wrong the first time.
Tim Kalishaw, your take?
You know, yeah, I mean, it'd be great if he could appease him, but I think every time he opens his mouth, it just gets worse. He now is painting Jim Crane like he's some heroic figure. He talks about we will help the Astros get through this like he's part of that. I mean, you wouldn't have had Roger Goodell saying we will help the Patriots get over Deflategate or whatever. You don't side with the wrong team here. And you know, it's a total mess. The only thing he's right about is the part about he couldn't punish the players. These same players who are speaking very loudly and vociferously and with a lot of, empowerment, they know in their hearts their union would have protected the Astros and kept those players from serving real suspensions. But it's fun to talk about.
See, that's an interesting element, and it's possible we don't know everything involved with that. But the point here that Sarah makes is he's got a best interest of the game, vacate the title right now. Woody Page, do you agree with that?
Well, he can't, Sarah, do it exactly right now because in about a week or so, we're going to be discussing this subject again when the Boston Red Sox come out. I mean, is he going to have to vacate that?
Clearly, that would be
also
the precedent
we
would be set.
Know.
Good question, Woody.
So I think he needs to at least hold off whatever decision. A couple of days ago, I said he should resign. I don't think he helped himself yesterday talking about basically apologizing to that trophy. And really, he didn't encourage players to get over it and go ahead with anything that he said yesterday. But I think we just need to hold off about the vacating the trophy until we see exactly what happens with the Red Sox. He talked about in the past there were situations. Well, those were all individual. Even the 1918 Black Sox, that wasn't the entire team. That was about seven guys. And the steroids, that wasn't the entire team. That might be three, four people. So you can't go back.
I do believe it was eight men out, Woody Page. But Jackie Mack, how about you?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem that Rob Manfred has, and it's the worst problem a commissioner can have, is when your own brethren, if you will, your own body of players have declaring to one and all that you have no credibility. And that's happened to Roger Goodell at various points in the NFL, too, with some of the decisions he's made. And I think it's really difficult to be effective when you have so many players from so many different angles attacking you on almost every single front. Right. Now, you've decided you didn't want to vacate the trophy. If I were Rob Manfred, and that's how you felt, you have to stick by that, I believe. If you're Rob Manfred, now we can agree or disagree, but that was the decision he made. He gave the players immunity. Tim is right. If, in fact, he hadn't, and he started to try to distinguish which players need to be punished, how many for a whole season, for half a season, how many times did they bang on the drum, you're opening up a can of worms that the union would have tied up for the better course of this baseball
season. Jackie, I hear that, but also sometimes there are cans of worms that needed to be opened. Should he call an emergency meeting between the union and the league and come to some terms here, some agreement?
I think that's a fair question. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it's a reasonable response.
Tim Kalishaw, you're shaking your head. No, sorry to interrupt, Jackie.
Well, I mean, once you've given people immunity, you can't say, "Well, let me think about this. Maybe let me go ahead and suspend you a little bit here." Can't do that.
Last one on LeBron James coming off a top rope from a different sport. Is that okay? Is it okay for LeBron James to say, hey, "You know what? I'm in a different sport, but I've got an opinion on this, and here's what I feel." Woody, is that all right for LeBron?
Yeah, I think he's a spokesman for all athletes in the United States. So I accept that he could speak out about baseball. I would just like to add one more of the thing. I think the commissioner should bring together about 12 leaders of baseball, the players, and say it to my face. Let's see if we can't get past this. And what do you want?
What more do they need to say? They don't need to say it to his face. They've been saying with every day a microphone in front of somebody's face. This is the worst. The thing that cheapens the commissioner's trophy is the actual commissioner. That was said. Right. That was said by Turner. It blows your mind. All right. Get your 12 leaders and LeBron, of course, and get them all to make a decision on this. We're going to move on now. Who is Baylor? And are they the favorite to win it all? Tim Kalishaw, you covered them this weekend versus West Virginia. It was the only matchup of top 25 teams this weekend, and it was on ESPN+. A mute for everybody for that. But last night's win versus Oklahoma, 23 straight, that's the Big 12 conference record. Tim, who is Baylor, and are they the favorite to win it all?
Okay, I am here to sing Baylor's praises. I am not here to tell you to write down Baylor in your bracket. And
here we go.
Baylor is the best. Wow, hold on. Tim. Baylor is the best of what we have in a year where it's very wide open. Mm-hmm. There are no great one-and-done players we're all just dying to see in the NBA. There's no team carried by one of those. Baylor is solid. They play great defense. They have depth. I think Jared Butler is becoming one of the best players in the country. And if you want to put him in the Final Four, that's fine.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you so much. So what the man who covered them this weekend is saying is, we don't know. We don't know enough about this team right now. Woody Page, how about you?
Oh, thank you, Tim. I'm so much better prepared to answer this than I was before. Let me tell you some stuff, Tony, about them. Teague is their leading scorer. He was out two games with a wrist injury, and they still managed to win those games. They got five transfers. That has really made a difference in this team because they lost seven guys. Last year, they beat Syracuse in the first round. Who did they lose to? They lost to Gonzaga. They're both going to be number one seeds this year. I'd like to see them get another opportunity there, and so I'm ready to more pronounce them as a Final Four team than the guy who saw them the other night.
Well, I think Tim said Final Four. Well, hold on. Tim did say Final Four. He's just not ready. Jackie Mack, I turn to you.
Well, so the thing about Baylor that is interesting to me is they're a classic 3-and-D team, which we hear that expression all the time in the pros. But that's exactly right. They're fourth in defensive efficiency. Ooh. They're very guard-oriented. Tim will back me up on this. They sometimes play four guards, and they can shoot the three. So now the problem with that is in the NCAA tournament. As we know, sometimes teams go cold. I think this team is good enough defensively to withstand that. I'm going to play along, Tony, and tell you they're going to
win the whole thing. There we go. There's, at least there's something. It's spoken like somebody who was actually at the game this weekend, unlike Callie. Sarah Spain, how about you?
Well, first I'm going to correct Woody. Butler is actually their leading scorer. And then I'm going to do a reverse Kalashaw and tell you the positives first, which is that they're a historical defense. And if they continue their current pace, they will allow the fewest average points per game in Big 12 history. Also, I agree with Tim that this is a more wide open field than we're used to. But since January 1st, the top five ranked teams are 65-1 with the only loss coming against each other, which means we are starting to see a little bit of a separation from the pack. That being said, I am still not putting them in on my top line. Line, nor anyone else, because I still think we do have to see which team emerges.
All right.
And we might still not know even when the tournament.
So you're also saying we still don't know everything. You also said something that is in the banned list, which would be one of those. Kalashaw, you want a last word here? Pick up the pieces
of
your resume.
Well, just that Baylor is better than you think historically in recent years. Scott Drew has been to the Sweet 16 four times since 2010. He's the youngest coach to go there four times.
How do you know what everybody else thinks historically? Interesting from California. Well, can we stay with Baylor for a second?
Punch.
Let's stay with Baylor. Kim Mulkey.
All Baylor.
Fastest D1 college coach ever to 600 wins yesterday. Faster than Kay. Faster than Wooden. Faster than Geno. Faster than Summit. Jackie, is Kim Mulkey the best ever to do it?
Well, she's certainly on her way to being the best ever to do it. She hasn't been around quite long enough, as long as, say, Gino Auriemma, who got to 1,000 wins with only 135 losses. But here's what I love about Kim Mulkey. She took over that program, and they were 7-20 the previous year, and she's had, I think, a winning year every single year that she's been there. That's really hard to do when you're turning a program around like she has. She's on the ballot for the Hall of Fame as a player slash coach. She's going to get in. She deserves to be there. She's one of the best for
In as a player and coach. Forget the slash. Sarah Spain, how about you?
This reminds me of the best ever on the NBA side, right? So Auriemma is kind of like the Bill Russell. He's got all the titles. And then you got Pat Summitt, who's kind of like the Michael Jordan. She made the thing happen so that anyone who follows and does something great doesn't really exist without her. So Kim Mulkey's sort of like the LeBron. Even if she were to pass her in achievements, we would still always give it to Summitt, which I think is fair. She was washing uniforms for her team while coaching them and then ushered them into an era of TV rights and people paying attention. So I still think Summit's the Jordan, but there's a spot for all of them.
Okay, did that land with everybody? I think I follow you, Sarah Spain. Tim Kalashaw, how about you?
I'll say this. It's very hard to get into the conversation with Auriemma and Summit. They're way beyond everybody, but Kim Mulkey is getting there, and the way to look at a record of 600 and 100, basically, if you coach 20 years, which he had, you'd have to go 30-5 20 straight times.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible to try to do, and that's what she's
That's our math major, Tim Kalashaw. Woody, I know you're a proud volunteer. I have a feeling Summit's coming our way here, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, as the only one on this program who can understand what winning 600 times really means.
Yo! Woody! That is a great line.
The most important thing is we can have a conversation that has more than three coaches in it. That means that the game is actually becoming more and more popular and more historically honorable. So I think that's the most
important point. It's a good point, and it's the last point. Woody Page! 20 points!
Taking
the lead at the back.
How many losses with that 6,000 games? How many losses, Matt, man?
Fire sale next.
Come on, dude.
That's not in the discussion.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Alka-Seltzer Plus for fast cold relief. Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
John Beilein coached 41 years in college, was 440 games over 500. He lasted 54 games in the NBA, 14-40. Woody Page, what's your overall review to Beilein and the Cavaliers parting ways?
Well, this is not going to hurt his reputation. He can go back to college basketball. Patino and Calipari, for example, went back. It just didn't work out. We're talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers franchise. Do you really think that's going to have a positive or negative effect on anything he's doing in his life? He's collected his millions. He can go back to college basketball. There are a lot of openings.
Tim Kalashaw?
I mean, he can go back, but, I mean, there's also got to be a little bit on him. He went there with certain expectations that those 900 games he'd coached in college would give him something with a young NBA team, and instead he kind of walks away like Jerry Tarkanian with the Spurs.
Instead, it's the exact opposite. The idea that he was a college coach is, and we don't know everything, but go ahead, Sarah Spain on Beeline and Cleveland.
Yeah, you said it yourself. The number of losses at the NBA level is fewer than the number of years that he coached collegiately. So I don't think this will be a stain on his longstanding reputation, particularly since he'll just go down in a pretty lengthy list of guys who didn't make the transition from college to NBA. He's not alone in that. I do think the thugs and slugs thing might stick with him for a little bit, but when he goes back to college, people will forget it.
And Jackie, if I could ask you pointedly, how much of this was that, the slugs and thugs thing?
Well, you know, my sources tell me, Tony, well before that, he was already going down the wrong path with these guys. Practices that were too hard, discipline that was too much, didn't understand the NBA cadence and the way things go in the league. After that thugs and slugs whole mix-up, do you know that his players, Tony, were playing lyrics in practice with the word thug in it just to, you know, embarrass him further? That gives you an idea how little credibility he had in that locker room.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two, I'm disappointed. Who said it? Who said it?
Kalashaw looking at his
me right now.
Chris Bosh said it. He said it 15 times in social media posts. Disappointed he didn't get to the Hall of Fame on the first ballot in this class with Kobe, Duncan, and Garnett. Tim, what do you say to Chris Bosh's disappointment?
He should be, but he should have said, I'm disappointed 11 times. That's how many times he was named to NBA All-Star games. I mean, there should be a if you get to 10, shouldn't you be automatic in the Hall of Fame? I don't know what should hold you back. You should be.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, statistically, he's got more than a clear case. Everybody who shares his historical numbers is already in the Hall of Fame. I think the thing that stood out to me is when he said, people keep telling me next year, there's always next year. Well, you never know if there is a next year. And I think he's probably thinking about Kobe Bryant being inducted posthumously, and that's sticking with him.
Jackie Mack.
Well, I think you're onto something, Sarah. Here's the thing. It's Kobe, it's Tim Duncan, it's Kevin Garnett. In what other sentence would Kevin Garnett ever be third, by the way, in that? So I think what happened was the Hall of Fame looked at it and said, this is an exceptional class, a one-in-the-lifetime class. Does Chris Bosh measure up to those three? No, he doesn't. He can wait. Kobe is gone. Let's make this an extra, extra special year and keep those three players separate from everybody else.
And Woody Page.
Yeah, we know he's going to be in the Hall of Fame based on his statistics. I think maybe the blood clots at the end of his career might have made people wonder about putting him on a first ballot. But next year he can go in and he'll be more of a prominent member of that class than he would be this year, because as was brought up, he would be fourth on that list. Next year he might be number one.
True. What do you mean by the blood clots at the end of his career made people think differently of him? You just that he didn't get to
it cut short his career. Remember Terrell
it
Davis?
Yes.
It took him a while to get in because his career was cut short.
Buy or sell three. Courtney was a fan favorite. It became clear she no longer wanted to return. Who said it? The Sun said it. This is a huge story here. The statement from The Sun about trading Court Williams today to Atlanta. It's a star who helped you get to the finals last year. Sun have reworked their roster incredibly. Williams in response. Quote, this process was definitely not an easy one for me. It truly showed me that it's all about business and that loyalty and emotion have no place. Bare minimum, I could have gotten a thank you. Woo! Sarah, buy or sell.
I'm selling the way the Sun are handling this. Listen, you mentioned it. The roster overhaul must be a shock for the fans when they made it to the finals. Not only Williams, but Strickland, another starter, also gone to the Dream. Why all the turnover, they might be wondering, and they might want to appease them and say, listen, we tried to keep her. She wanted to go. I just don't think overall that's actually the right move. The loyalty to the person saying thank you is what would have served them better.
Jackie Mack.
I'll tell you what this tells me, Tony. The women's game has caught up to the men's game because it's all the buzzwords we normally hear with men about money, contracts, lack of respect. I didn't even get a thank you. This is a business. Now we know that the women's game is dealing with those same issues. I have no idea why the Connecticut Sun would choose the statement that they did. It makes no sense to me. Court Williams was their most exciting player. She deserved that.
Well, clearly there was something bad in the water here. Woody Page, how do you read it?
Something happened. We'll find out.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know the undercurrent, so I think we'll find out as time goes on. But she was an outstanding player last year when she got them to the finals, and I don't know why it just turned so badly so quickly, but I'm on her side. They could have said, we really want to honor you before you leave.
Tim Kalashaw.
I mean, we may not know the undercurrent is what he says, but it doesn't matter when a player leaves, no matter how it goes. An organization needs to honor and respect that player. Others around the league pay attention. They'll all
notice.
That's
a good point, Tim.
Look how the Connecticut Sun treated Courtney Williams at the end, and that won't help him in the long run.
The point was, it doesn't help you in the long run, but people will take notice on what you did there.
Helps the average. Yes. Helps the average.
Sarah Spade as well. Watching Woody Page, Jackie McMahon.
Thank you,
no
Sarah.
Doubt.
Are you disappointed?
In 2 minutes.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Jackie Mack, Woody Page, good luck in showdown. Kyrie Irving, he's missed 33 of 53 games this year, and he's going to miss more now. Nets say he's seeing a shoulder specialist for this recurring injury. We don't know what's going on in that shoulder, but Woody seemingly made it to the Nets. Where does it fall on the concernometer?
Oh, I go all the way over because he should shut it down for the rest of the year. And if he's really concerned about it, I would go to the end of the earth if I was him looking for specialists to tell me what's happening.
Yeah, no, I expect that he will shut it down, Woody. And I think he understands that next year is the year that matters when Kevin Durant is back and they're going to vie for a title. The team can't admit that, but Kyrie can.
Yes, I agree with you there, Jackie. You'll get a point. Some might say Woody's joke fell flat, but I liked it. We'll move on. Showdown 2, Arkansas, Florida. Adriel Bailey spying a bit in the Gators huddle. Then, falling, flopping, drawing a technical foul. A day later, should he be proud of this, Jackie?
Absolutely not. I don't mind listening on the huddle. Not unprecedented. Rondo made a living out of that in the NBA. But if you're going to do it, don't flop for crying out loud. That's embarrassing. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jackie, he didn't belong in a huddle. Can you imagine somebody walking into a huddle in college football? You know what would happen to him? He got exactly what he deserved, a Razorback on his back.
There you go, Woody. We don't know what he's thinking today, but we do know it's enough for Woody Page to get 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Watching the Daytona 500 Monday in real time and seeing what happened at the very end of the race with Ryan Newman, we feared the worst, and I think we were all stunned and shocked by what happened. And then to be told later that it wasn't life-threatening, but he was in serious condition, you still have to be concerned about his future. And what happened today? He walked out of the hospital. And so congratulations to Ryan Newman and all the people around him who helped him get out of that car and take care of him.
Such a miracle to see him with his daughter. I mean, honestly, that hug must have felt so good. 23 and a half hour break. We'll see you tomorrow around the horn.